Вие сте со SBS Радио на Македонски.
До научни дела за аспекти од животот на македонците во Австралија ретко се доаѓа, така што публикувањето на студијата од над 550 страници на доктор Джим Хлавач пошироко е поздравено. Книгата Three Generations, Two Countries of Origin, One Speech Community, Australian Macedonians and Their Language, Languages, е книга посветена на јазикот, јазиците на македонците во Австралија, во која доктор Хлавач научно докажува колку силно македонците во Австралија го одржуваат својот мајчин јазик, толку силно, вели истражувачот Хлавач, што како етничка група се вбројуваат меѓу оние заедници со највисок степен на одржување на својот јазик. А може би и група кај која најмногу е одржуван јазикот според последниот попис. Доктор Джим Хлавач е виш предавач на Универзитетот на Монаш како НАТИ акредитиран професионален преведувач со работно искуство во Европа и Австралија. Во факултетот на јазици, литератури, култури и лингвистики тој е координатор на теорија и практика на преведување и води работни сесии за германско-англиски превод. Доктор Джим Хлавач ги истражувал испитите за прием на курсевите за преведување, логистика и протоколи за телефонско и далечинско преведување и многу други меѓукултурни прагматики во преведените интеракции. Тој е координатор на кратки курсеви за професионален развој на преведувачи, поддржани од Канцеларијата за мултикултурни прашања и државјанство, Департментот на премиерот и Кабинетот на Викторија. Господинот Хлавач беше клучен член во работната група за усовршувањето на НАТИ акредитацијата за преведувачи. Доктор Хлавач публикувал бројни книги на лингвистички теми, журнали, извештај и истражни дела и има учествувано на околу 50 конференции со свои излагања на теми поврзани со преведувањето. На синокешната промоција на неговата книга за употребата на македонскиот јазик во Австралија, одржана во Епинг, светски познатиот лингвист при Универзитетот на Чикаго, професор Виктор Фридман, рече дека делото на доктор Джим Хлавац заслужува значајно признание за придонесот кон афирмацијата на македонскиот јазик во Република Македонија, Грција, Австралија и светот.
Пред две недели бев во Скопје, каде што добив признанието Блаже Конески за моите придонеси за афирмацијата за македонскиот јазик. А сакам да кажам вечерва што оваа книга на доктор Хлавач исто така заслужува такво внимание и такво признание. So, as I just said, 2 weeks ago I was in Skopje where I received the Blaže Konjski medal for from the Macedonian Academy of Arts and Sciences for my contributions to the affirmation of Macedonian in the USA and the world. Dr. Jim Hlavač's book, Three Generations, Two Countries of Origin, One Speech Community, Australian Macedonians and Their Languages, is an affirmation of the Macedonian language that is likewise worthy of significant recognition in the Republic of Macedonia, in Greece, here in Australia, as well as in the rest of the world. This is an academic work with significant implications beyond the academy. The fact that Macedonians in Australia have one of the highest levels of language maintenance of Australia's linguistic minorities is highly significant and worthy of the research presented in this book. The book comprises 10 chapters with a summary, an extensive summary in English, also in Macedonian, and also in Greek. The book actually deserves to be distributed in Greece, but it may be a while before we get that far. The book has 11 appendices. There are sociolinguistic questionnaires that were used in the first, second, and third generations of informants. A questionnaire on ethnolinguistic vitality in both English and in Macedonian. Interview questions for the various generations and samples of interviews with some of the speakers, which in an academic work gives voice to the people who are the subject of the work. Perhaps most important from a larger distributional point of view is that these interviews were videotaped and they're available on YouTube so that linguists who want to work on Macedonian dialects from Aegean Macedonia as well as the Republic and on the dialects as they're spoken here in Australia have direct access to this material. It's extremely important and extremely valuable work, which Dr. Popov also contributed enormously to, and we're very grateful to him for that.
И како што слушнавте, професорот Фридман го истакна огромниот придонес и на доктор Крис Попов, кој ја изврши теренската работа на снимања и интервјуа со околу 100 австралиски македонци, вклучувајќи комбинација на генерации, возрасни групи и земја на раѓање меѓу испитаниците, која ја даде основата за истражувањето на доктор Хлавач, кој во наредните минути опишува како се дојде до идејата за оваа книга.
As Victor has said, what is this book about? This book is about you. It's about a book about Macedonian Australians. People have asked me, why did you write this book? People like you are not going to ask that question because to you it's obvious why a book would be written about Macedonian in Australia. I'm sure all of you in your lives, regardless of whether your origins are from Aegean Macedonia or from the Republic of Macedonia, have often thought about how do I speak? How do my parents speak? How do my children speak? What am I doing now? What's coming out of my mouth? Am I speaking two languages, one language? Do I speak differently from the people that are in the homeland, etc.? Within your daily lives, etc., the way that you live with both languages is a natural and unremarkable circumstance. So I think that the book title itself doesn't need much explanation for all of those here gathered this evening. As Victor said, Macedonian is the best maintained language, European language in Australia, and we can say that with certainty because we have data from the 2011 census, and the previous census collections also indicated the same thing. When we cross-tabulate the country of birth, Republic of Macedonia, the language spoken at home, there's a very high percentage, it's something like 96% of those born in the Republic of Macedonia speak Macedonian at home. Now, I fear that might sound quite natural. For demographers and for linguists, that's a phenomenal percentage. And that allows us to be able to say that of all European languages spoken in this country, Macedonian is the best maintained. And I think it might be the best maintained because I don't know if the other Asian and Middle Eastern languages are still going to have the same high maintenance rates. It'll be interesting to see what the 2016 census also reveals. I might talk a little bit about my own personal contact with Macedonian. As I said in the intro, my background is not Macedonian. My background is Croatian. I'm kind of an adopted Macedonian. My first contacts with Macedonians were from the Republic, and the people that I spoke to who accommodated to me spoke impeccable Serbian. When they spoke to me, etc., they had learned Serbian in the Republic at the time, or in former Yugoslavia. And I used to think to myself, these people speak really, you know, I can understand Macedonian. If that's what's coming out of their mouths, I can understand them very, very well. But I started to investigate some of the more distinct features of Macedonian. And then I started meeting Aegean Macedonians who don't tend to speak Serbian, whose repertoire is in some ways different from those from the Republic, as we know. And I got asked things like, Imaše deno? And I'd say, Kaže se jesam li ručao? Have you had lunch, etc.? And I'd be starting to correct my Aegean Macedonian friends, etc., saying, that's not how you say it. Tako se ne veli, tako se ne kaže, neko se kaže. And they just look at me like this and say, oni malo u glavi nekom. And so I discovered new words which are not part of, let's say, the dialect spoken in the Republic, things like Kodemnekenef, which is an old Turkish word. Sorba is not a room, but a heater. And the word for room is, of course, rumo. And things like karo and treno as well. But also sort of common words like setne, šedoprajme, which easily slip off Aegean Macedonians' lips, etc., were terms that soon became part of my repertoire. I'll fast forward a few years. My Croatian background meant that I was interested in the Croatian language, and I did a PhD 20 years ago on how second-generation Croatian Australians speak Croatian, what's happening with the language, the change, the lexical changes, the grammatical changes. And so I became a linguist. That was where my linguistic training came from. And code-switching was also a common feature. I then became a teacher and I worked at Maribyrnong Secondary College. I also worked at the VSL and I had lots of Macedonian students. And this was in the early 1990s. So there was more contact with both, mainly from students from the Republic of Macedonia, I have to say. And I kept on thinking, well, you know, someone should one day look at Macedonian as well. Someone should. when is that person going to come forward and do it? And I thought, you know, I'd ask certain people, are you interested in this? And they said, oh, yeah, it's a good topic, but nothing happened. So more years passed, and like all good things, Victor Friedman had a hand in it. Victor Friedman conducted a seminar here in 2010, in fact, not far away from here at La Trobe. And I think it was the best attended seminar that the La Trobe Research Centre in Linguistics description had. I think there were about 100 people. We didn't have enough chairs anyway. So I got talking with Victor afterwards, and Victor said, well, of course, you have to look at it. So I said, okay, Victor says I have to do it, I have to do it. And so at the same meeting, there were other people from the AMHRC there, and I got in contact with Chris Popov, who I had a chat with afterwards. And Chris said, that's a very interesting topic, etc. Yes, that's something you should pursue, Jim. And so we made a date. And I think it was the middle of winter in 2010. They invited me to the offices in North Melbourne. So I rolled up and I had prepared a list that said, you know, I'm interested in this and this and this and this. And the members of the committee sort of looked at me and said, oh, pull the other one, okay, what's going to happen here? But Chris was very interested, and Chris said, well, you know, Jim, we should take this further. And I said, Chris, I'm very happy to take this further. What do you propose? And I said, look, I said to Chris, you know, we need a field worker, someone who's in a position to be able to speak to people, tape people, videotape people, give them questionnaires, help them through them. Would you be interested? And without much hesitation, Chris said yes. And so for those of you who don't know about field work takes up endless hours, 10 times more than you originally think. It's messy. You have to deal with people. You have to deal with data. You have to transcribe it. It's hard work, people, believe me. And so when Chris volunteered to take on the role of being a field worker to collect the data which has made up that book, I was extremely grateful. And so in the period between October 2010 to 2011, Chris interviewed 95 people, videotaped them, some nearly 100. 103, I'm not doing you justice, Chris. 103 people, most of whom agreed to be videotaped, the others agreed to be audiotaped, and as Victor said, there are YouTube videotapes, there's 40 up there, there are 20 which have subtitles in English and 20 which remain unsubtitled, and they remain an excellent resource for people who wish to see how people are speaking their dialects.
Вашата заедница, вашите разговори. SBS на Македонски.